Okay, in the next 5 minutes is all I thought I had left. Well, I wanted to give you some details of the characteristics of the cell of the hematopoietic and the immune system in Wiskott-Aldrich syndrome, and also to try to explain some of the tests that we do both to characterize the immunodeficiency and also to on the research basis sometimes to try to characterize a little more the mechanism that lead to immune dysregulation, immune dysfunction in this disease. And I wanted to start by giving you this schematic representation of the hematopoietic and the immune system. I will just remind you that in the bone marrow of our bones, we have these hematopoietic stem cells, cell types. And they give rise to all cells of the blood, both the cells of the immune system, they are depicted here, the lymphocytes, the T cells, you've heard many times, the B cells, the NK, natural killer cells, that orange, we'll talk about those on Friday, and the other cells of the innate immune system, and neutrophils and eosinophils, I'm sure you've heard, and other cells that are obviously very important in the blood, like platelets and red blood cells. As you know, patients with Wiskott have problems with their lymphocytes and with their platelets and red blood cells. And since these cells in common have these progenitor cells, you know, we know and it has been demonstrated that the problems really start here, and they developed and they express themselves throughout the differentiation of these cells. So why are these cells defective in Wiskott? It's because, as Hans was saying, there are many reasons, but one of the fundamental reasons is because the Wiskott-Aldrich syndrome protein is necessary for the skeleton of the cells, what is called the cytoskeleton. And if you stain the cells for actin, which is the component of a cellular skeleton, you can see the normal cells, this filamentous picture that depicts the skeleton. And if you look at this platelets in one of Dr. Trasher's publications, you see these nodules, these bright nodules in these normal platelets that are made of actin, and those are missing in the platelets from Wiskott patients, indicating, you know, that the absence of the expression or the function of the Wiskott protein as a consequence, a fairly major abnormality here. And since the cell's immune system need actin and actin cytoskeleton for a whole lot of different functions, you can try to begin to understand how, you know, the different phenotypes that we see, the different clinical presentation that we see in Wiskott patients are due to this lack of Wiskott-Aldrich syndrome protein function. You know, the cells need podosomes and microvilli to move around, to interact with the microenvironment. As mentioned, immunological synapse, this fundamental junction between a cell's immune system, two cells' immune system that triggers the immune response, and the cells also need the actin cytoskeleton to perform cell division or cytokinesis. So having a problem with that protein, you know, obviously results in a series of problems at different levels of the hematopoietic immune system. So talking about platelets as one of those cells, you all know that the problems with platelets in Wiskott present themselves with PTK bruising and bleeding, and when we look at the CBC, we see low platelet counts and small platelet sizes. You know, these are the low platelets results in this kind of presentation. And this is just a picture of control platelets, hepatic donor control platelets. You see they're here, they're much smaller than the red blood cells. In Wiskott patients, you have seen this already, they have some normal size platelets, sometimes even larger platelets, indicating some problems with platelet generation. But mostly, they have this small size platelet. Yes, with the patients have low platelet counts, they may be explaining the bleeding, but we also know that some patients that have been splenectomized continue to bleed or have hematomas and bruising. And that is because there is also some platelet function that is abnormal in Wiskott patients that is described here. Platelets, when they attach, you can put platelets on a glass slide and they will spread, that will come from this star shape into this more round plate shape. In Wiskott, in the absence of the Wiskott protein, you see that much fewer platelets perform that function. So there is a problem with the function of the platelets, and since spreading is one of the functions that the platelets need to do to create stop bleeding, that is relevant. So why do we have these platelet abnormalities? We certainly have an increased problems with increased consumption, reduced production, and abnormal function. So all the factors that support platelets production and function are affected in this disease. You all know that Wiskott platelets are cleared from the circulation with a velocity that is higher than normal. And we all have told you the spleen is responsible for this removing of the platelets faster than normal because the platelets are abnormal in shape and they are recognized as foreign objects. There is certainly a problem with production. Studies in mice have shown that the progenitor cells that make platelets produce and release these platelets in a premature fashion and in a premature way, and that may reduce the efficacy of the production of these platelets. And one of the representation of this factor is that one index that we have now started to use in the lab, the immature platelet fraction index, is much lower in Wiskott patients than normal. So the immature platelet fraction measures these platelets that are young, they have been just released from the bone marrow, and you expect those platelets to be higher in patients that have low platelet numbers. So, in fact, if you look at ITP patients that have immune thrombocytopenia, you see an average immature platelet fraction of 6.46, which is within the normal range. In Wiskott patients, which also in general have, on average, have less platelets than the ITP patients, you have a lower immature platelet fraction index, which indicates a reduction of production. And then, we also have a problem with aggregation spreading and the presence of important granules inside the Wiskott platelets. Here are some representation of alpha granules that are the corpuscles inside the cells that contain important molecules for patient platelet aggregation. As you see, Wiskott platelets have a reduced number of those granules. So the problem of bleeding and complications from bleeding in Wiskott is due to many different factors, and obviously we know that we can correct. We can correct this with splenectomy. Whether or not it's the right thing to do, I'll leave it to the discussion later, but we know this can help. And whereas for the reduced production, obviously there is the possibility of using platelets growth factors, and when Dr. Bissels will discuss this. For the normal function, I believe there is nothing else to do rather than bone marrow transplantation correct this. Talking about the lymphoid system, you know, if you heard that T lymphocytes can be low in number, especially CD8 positive cells can be reduced in numbers, And when we put them in culture dishes, they fail to proliferate as vigorously as normal T cells. And they also have a problem with killing target cells. And that obviously can be a problem for control of infections and malignancy. We have seen in looking at T cell numbers in patients of different age, the WISCO patients, as Hans was saying, with age, their immune system can get under arthritis, and you see the WISCO patients' T cell numbers are lower in patients that are older compared to what happens in normal controls. And as I said, the problem with low numbers and reduced proliferation, reduced killing, can explain the increased infections and malignancy. Hans also mentioned the problem with reduced regulatory T cell function. Regulatory T cells are this subgroup of T cells that are very important because they control the proliferation of other T cells that, when they are left unchecked, can cause autoimmunity. I'm going to show you a little bit of what the way that we study regulatory T cells in the laboratory. So we culture some T cells. We call them effector T cells, the cells that are being stimulated to respond to a, let's say, viral infection. When we culture those cells by themselves, they proliferate with up to 12,000 in this value of proliferation scale. When we culture them together with these regulatory T cells from a normal control, as you see, their proliferation becomes half. So the regulatory T cells are able to reduce the proliferation of these T cells, and that's their job. Unfortunately, when we culture WISCO Tregs with these effector T cells, as you see, the proliferation is almost unchanged. And that is the mechanisms that are behind this phenomenon are not totally understood yet, but this clearly indicates that some of these proliferating T cells are left unchecked and may go on to cause autoimmunity. Talking about B lymphocytes, it was just mentioned, it's very common for WISCO patients to have abnormal IgA levels on the increased side and lower IgM levels. This reflects the immune dysregulation of this disease. One thing that is clear from many studies that have looked at patients and mouse models is that there is a differentiation defect of these B lymphocytes. If you remember the picture of the hematopoietic system that I showed you earlier, the B cells are deriving from a common lymphoid progenitor, but they have to go through a series of different steps to become mature functioning B cells that produce normal antibodies. What we know is that if we looking at differentiation of these B cells, is that naive B cells, so the cells that have not encountered a antigen, they are usually normal in numbers and in percentage in WISCO patients. But if we look at other more sophisticated or more specialized subsets of B cells, we look at there are a series of problems in WISCO patients, like an increase of B transitional B cells. These are the young B cells that are moving from the bone marrow to the spleen. For reasons that are not completely understood, there is an increase of these B cells. Since these B cells contain autoantibody producing clones, that is also is taken as a explanation of why autoimmunity can be a problem in WISCO. Memory B cells are the B cells that have encountered the antigens and now are producing antibodies. As you can see, in general, WISCO patients have less B cells, so they have a lesser efficacy in undergoing that process of maturation. And then a very common finding in WISCO patients is this increase of this particular subsets of B cells that are CD21 low. We still don't know what that means in Wiskott. In other diseases like common vitamin deficiency, the presence of these B cells has been associated with autoimmunity. And therefore, you know, what we have been doing is to just to, for the time being, just look at the numbers of these B cells and see that if they can tell us that a patient that has this high high fraction of CD21 low B cells is that patient that will develop autoimmunity. We don't have a clear association as of yet regarding this this matter. So all these issues with B cells again can underlie the increased infections and autoimmunity in Wiskott patients. Now, if also, I've already told you, there are B cells in Wiskott patients that make autoantibodies so that is another issue that we have seen. And this is a study that Dr. Notarangelo did with comparing a series of Wiskott patients. You can see there are the Wiskott patients, mild Wiskott patients in this series. And he compared this these subjects with patients that have lupus, a disease that is characteristically associated with autoantibodies, and compared with healthy donors. So what you see here is very clearly the lupus patients have a lot of yellow. Yellow means presence of autoantibodies in their serum. The healthy donors don't have almost any yellow square, but the Wiskott patients and the severe Wiskott and the mild Wiskott patients, they both have several dots that light up in yellow, showing an increased presence of autoantibodies in these patients. And Gigi can tell me if he shares this comment, but the unexpected part was this. So the presence of autoantibodies in patients with mild disease that also don't have autoimmunity because they have mild disease, but they can already pre-exist potentially the development of autoimmune phenomenon in the future. So again, the presence of antibodies is classically associated with autoimmunity, but perhaps can be used again to try to predict what patients need to be followed more closely for the development of that kind of disorders. I'm going to go very quick here now. I think it's happened to many of you that a CBC has come back with hemoglobin that is on the low side of normal. And obviously that creates some concerns because autoimmune hemolytic anemia can be a problem with Wiskott patients. And if you have autoimmune hemolytic anemia, it means that you have a more severe version of the disease. So we've always followed these values very, very carefully. And what we have noticed is that several patients, almost all patients that we see, show blood smear abnormalities when we looked at their blood cells, red blood cells now, under the microscope. As you can see, a normal red blood cell is like this one, is round and has a center, a lighter center where the biconcave shape squeezes out hemoglobin from the center. As you can see, there are many different and funny looking cells in the blood smear of almost all Wiskott patients that indicate the presence of an abnormality with the red blood cells. And when we looked at indices of hemolysis, we saw that in several patients we have actually evidence of such occurrence. As you see, this is a series of 25 patients. 12 patients had lower than normal hemoglobin. They had reduced haptoglobin. Haptoglobin goes down when there is free hemoglobin in the blood circulation, and the plasma hemoglobin was increased in 15 out of 25 patients. So, we certainly had evidence of subclinical non-immune hemolysis in 18 patients, which I think is it's something very important to know, because not all hemolysis indicates autoimmunity, and therefore, you know, we can rest a little easier when we see those lower values of hemoglobin. And one, these are pictures from the mice with the genetic deletion of the WISCO gene. As you can see, they also show those abnormalities, and that's good for us on a research basis, because we can try to understand what is the function of WASP in the red blood cells that creates these problems when WASP is missing. So I'm gonna go to the questions. I think some of these were platelet questions that Hans has already discussed. The issue whether or not you're demanding treatment when the counts get so low is a tricky one. With counts that are 5,000, I would be very nervous to let someone go without doing anything, especially if they have to get on a plane and go back home for a long trip. So it depends on what you are when these numbers are given to you. I agree with Hans that transfusions are the last thing to do, but again, sometimes you have to do it. And if transfusion is something that happens too frequently, that might be an indication that something curative needs to be done. So that's my take on that. And again, I also have not heard about this happening, so I don't know what to say. Probably it's just that if the counts are down because of a infection, it might be feeling under the weather because of that. I talked about T cells, so there was this question that was just presented now. T cells are normal in counts, but they might not work properly. So that's why we do those assays, to see if they can reduce proliferation of other cells, if they proliferate normally, if they produce cytokines. The cell number in itself is not the whole story. We need to find out if they work properly. They
can I interrupt?
Yes. When there are not everybody responds to hepatitis B anyway at that age, so it's not necessarily a WISCO problem. It's possible that some of the T cell function is not working, and is not therefore the B cell function. The B cells are not responding to a vaccination, but that is, I would say, most likely. I don't know, but possibly it's just a non-responder for other reasons. Is there a possibility that T-cell function can be normal in a classic patient? I guess we need to discuss what T-cell function means, and what studies have been done to call it normal. A classic patient, I would expect that at least would not respond to a stimulation to a KT3, possibly is not producing IL-2. So again, it depends what assays have been done. The age of the patient, yes, it could be. We have seen patients having normal responses to OKT3 initially, and that and they have become less of responders later on. What are the causes of the changes in white cells, platelets, and protein? I think I said some answers about that in my presentation, but if there are questions, I can answer them now, and I'll stop here. Any questions?